Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Q2 FY23 results conference call of Welspun Corp, hosted by Emkay Global Financial Services. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions at the end of today's presentation. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Abhineet Anand from Emkay Global Financial Services. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Michelle. I'd first like to thank the management of Welspun Corp for giving Emkay the opportunity to host this call. I would like to hand this call to Mr. Abhinandan Singh, Head Group Investor Relations. Over to you, sir.
Thanks, Abhineet, and good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Welspun Corp Limited, I welcome all of you to the company's Q2 FY23 results earnings conference call. We have with us today Mr. Vipul Mathur, Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Percy Birdy, Chief Financial Officer of Welspun Corp Limited, and also along with us, we have Gaurav Ajjan, who leads investor relations for Welspun Corp. We will start, as usual, with opening remarks by Mr. Vipul Mathur, and after that, the floor will be open for your questions. Should you have any queries that remain unanswered after today's earnings call, please feel free to reach out either to Gaurav or to me. Our coordinates are available on our website. With that, let me hand over the floor over to Mr. Vipul Mathur, MD and CEO, Welspun Corp. Over to you.
Thank you. Thank you, Abhinandan, and very good afternoon to all of you. I greatly appreciate you, all of you, taking time out for this today's call, our earnings call for Q2 FY23. Let me start with the key highlights and the performance during the quarter ended 30th September 2022. We are seeing a strong business outlook, providing clear earning visibility for the next several quarters. Our order book for the line pipe is approximately 1 million ton and an active bid book of close to 1.5 million ton at this point in time. We are also pleased to highlight that we have won a significant order under the new energy space, which is a carbon capture pipeline project in the U.S. We have started our regular dispatches for the ductile iron plant. We have also acquired the specific asset of ABG Shipyard. We also have a little downside in terms of our earnings, mostly on account of the inventory cost, what we have been carrying in our steel vertical, and which I am going to talk about it in my subsequent part of the conversation. For the quarter, the production and the sales volume in line pipes for our total operations, including Saudi, stood at 215,000 tons and 218,000 tons respectively. 215,000 tons was the production and sales was 218,000 tons. Out of which India sales volume, out of this 218,000 tons, India did 140,000 tons, U.S. did close to 9,000 tons, and Saudi did something close to around 70,000 tons. Let me now give you a brief outlook and an update on each of the every vertical and the geographies in which we are present with, for your better understanding of the business. First, let me talk about the pipe vertical, which is about line pipes. The line pipe has seen a robust performance with a global sales volume of 218,000 tons and an EBITDA of 256 crore for the quarter. This EBITDA includes 104 crore rupees from the sale of land and civil structures in Dahej. Further, the U.S. production has also significantly ramped up, and the dispatches against the project will start end of Q3 or early Q4, and thus we will see a significant contribution coming in our FY profitability. The confirmed order book of line pipe business is close to 1 million tons, and the company is in favorable position for a few additional large orders. This gives us a clear business and earning visibility for the next five to six quarters till the end of FY24. If you see, OPEC+ has also taken a decision to cut a massive 2 million barrels per day of oil production, which is equal to 2% of the global supply, in their meeting held in early October, to try and create a tighter demand-supply balance in the global market. It is thus estimated that the oil demand and price both are likely to stay firm for a foreseeable future. On the steel side, we have seen significant downturn correction in the prices owing to the recessionary pressure, lower demand conditions in Europe, and worries about the China housing market. In India, the steel prices have also corrected significantly, more than 20%, after Ministry of Steel has imposed an export duty of 15% in May 2022. As regards how it reflects pan out for India, the current environment of reasonably high energy prices coupled with a decline in global price of steel will lead to a robust capex cycle in the oil and gas sector globally, which has been dormant for the past few years. We are seeing resurgence of various stalled projects and are in active discussion for several export orders across the world with focus on Europe, Australia, South America, Southeast Asia and Middle East. The Indian government also has envisioned a very clear roadmap for the energy with a major focus on gas as a cleaner fuel. The gas demand prospects in India remain strong as the government has set a target to raise the share of natural gas in the energy mix from current 6.7% to 15% by 2030. Gas demand will be driven by fertilizers, CGD players, petrochemicals and refineries. This will result in continuously expanding the gas and the CGD pipeline network on pan-India basis and will be a key driver for the growth for the line pipe industry. Similarly, the correction in the domestic steel pricing has brought back the demand in the water sector as there is an accelerated need for the development of irrigation facilities. We are also seeing increased engagement across the states of Gujarat, Maharashtra, Tamil Nadu, Karnataka, Madhya Pradesh, Punjab and Rajasthan. There is a strong intent to meet the ambitious target as envisaged in the various government schemes. The focus both by the central and state government on developing the water infrastructure is expected to drive the demand for large diameter pipes for water application. As regards US, after a year of underinvestment in oil and gas exploration and infrastructure, the US is now focused on boosting its oil and gas supply to cater to their domestic energy needs as well as for exports to cater the energy needs in Europe. The number of active oil and natural gas drilling rigs in United States have risen by 229 or almost 42% in the past year to the highest point since March 2020. The increased drilling activity is necessitating the need for creating additional gas export lines. Volumes are set to reach more than 21 BCF per day by the end of November according to an EI report and it will be a record high and up by 9% since last year. The Permian Basin, where the maximum drilling activity seems to be happening, will need additional two or three large gas pipeline projects for evacuation of gas to the Gulf Coast in the coming 3 to 5 years. There is also an extremely strong focus on new energy including carbon capture and ammonia pipelines. We recently announced winning a significant order for a carbon capture pipeline project in the US. This order is for supply of almost 1200 kilometers of HFIW pipes and will be used for transporting captured carbon dioxide. The pipes for this order will be produced for our Little Rock plant, will be produced at our Little Rock plant in the US and the same will be executed during FY23-24. Given the commitment for reducing greenhouse gas emissions and the incentives attached to this sector, we would see a very robust demand for such pipeline for the next couple of years. With Welspun being one of the largest player in the Northern American subcontinent, we are confident of maximizing our capacity utilization and earnings and profitability for this asset in subsequent year also. It is also very pertinent to mention that at this point in time, we have a large order book which is taking us till the end of the third quarter of the next financial year, both for our spiral pipe as well as for our HFIW pipe. Coming to Saudi Arabia, Saudi Aramco reported its highest quarterly profit for the period June 30, 2022 since the company went public in 2019, boosted by higher oil prices and refining margins. The company expects both the oil and gas demand to continue to grow for the rest of the decade. Saudi Aramco stands ready to raise oil output to its maximum sustained capacity of 12 million barrels per day and has announced a capex enhancement from 31.9 billion to almost close to 50 billion for this year. On the water side of it, SWCC, which is the largest desalination corporation in the world and is providing water to over 34 million people. for the distribution of desalinated water. 7 additional large water infrastructure projects are planned, which would result in a total demand exceeding 3 million tons of pipe over the next 3 years' time. So with the high oil prices, increased global demand, the current geopolitical situation in the world, we see a robust business opportunity for the next 5 or 7 years in oil and gas as well as in water sector in KSA. With again, with we being Welspun or Epic, our company Eastpipe, being one of the largest players in that domain, we are confident of maximizing our capacity utilization, earning and profitability for this asset too. Now let me draw your attention to our steel vertical. In our steel vertical, we have 2 legs. One part is with respect to pig iron and DI pipes, and other leg is all about the long products, which is TMT. Let me first address the pig iron and the DI pipes. As you know, that our state-of-the-art blast furnace got commissioned in July 2022 and is running efficiently with a consistent output of more than 1,000 metric tons per day of hot metal, where we also have a potential to ramp it up to 1,500 metric tons per day. However, this is currently being regulated as the production of DI pipes is being ramped up on a gradual basis. We are using this hot metal is primarily will be used for making the DI pipes. So we are regulating a little bit. Our DI plant, which have a capacity of 400,000 tons and equipped with the latest cutting edge technology, has received its BIS certification and its approvals in the key states of Gujarat, Uttar Pradesh, Madhya Pradesh, Rajasthan, Maharashtra, Chhattisgarh and Punjab, achieving the first major milestone. The quality of the product is widely accepted by the customers, and as on date, we have more than 70,000 tons of order for the DI pipes valued at more than 500 crore rupees. The operational performance of both our steel and DI facilities are absolutely in line as we have planned and envisaged and meeting our expectation. Though the profitability for this quarter has been impacted on account of high inventory costs, especially the coke, as being faced by all the other major steel makers at large. This was also impacted by the lower sales realization of the steel product, which is pig iron, on account of imposition of export duty at the rate of 15%, thereby softening the domestic steel price and making it difficult for the company to sell overseas. The overall impact, the overall financial impact of these two itself is close to 200 crore rupees for this particular quarter. However, this being a one-off standoff loss, which has been factored in this particular quarter. However, moving forward, the product quality, our expansion in customer base, the production ramp up which is happening at a very, very smooth pace, and the commodity pricing getting now more predictable, the financial performance of the business will significantly improve in the subsequent quarters. From a demand perspective, we see a continued focus on creating drinking water supply infrastructure in India under the Jal Jeevan Mission, where against the allocated budget of 3,60,000 crore, till date we still have an unspent amount of 3,01,000 crore rupees. This gives a very clear visibility of a demand growth over next few years. Let me talk about our steel vertical. In our steel vertical, the second part, which is our long product TMT. We have already, as I said, we will be commissioning our TMT mill in the second quarter of this year. We have done that. This is a really state-of-the-art TMT plant having a capacity of 350,000 tons. It has also received its BIS certification and it is all set to commence the dispatches. The key growth drivers continue to be spent on infrastructure, housing and construction. Our key market area would be Gujarat, which has a consistent annual demand of more than 3 million tons per annum, of which close to 2 million tons is only produced in the state of Gujarat and the balance comes from outside. With our quality, customer-centric approach and the brand, we are confident to establish our product as a leading B2C brand in the Western market. Let me also give you an update about WSSL. I am sure you must have seen the results announced by WSSL as being a separately listed company. The order book for the stainless steel bars stands at 1,387 tons, and for the tubes and pipes at 1,853 metric tons, valued at 170 crore rupees. The pipe volumes for the Q2 FY23 up by 96% on YoY basis. The total income from operations for Q2 FY23 was at 93.7 crore rupees, up 351% on YoY basis, and EBITDA was at 0.3 crore rupees versus a loss of 4.3 crore rupees in Q2 FY2022. The key demand is from the sectors like oil refineries, petrochemicals, pharmaceuticals, defense and power. Our healthy order book, approvals and accreditations across the sectors, incremental performance demonstrated on a quarter-on-quarter basis, quality acceptance both in the domestic and the export market, and the government thrust on Make in India initiative, all will lead to improved earnings and better margins in quarters to follow. All gentlemen, what I want to highlight here that, you know, it has been a journey. A company which has been in red has now, with sustained efforts and diligence working, is now into black. And from here on, it is only going to see one trend, which is the upward trend. I also want to take this opportunity to give you updates on some of the key events which has happened in this particular quarter. One of them is the asset acquisition of ABG Shipyards. Welspun was a successful bidder in terms of the process memorandum for the private sale of specified assets of ABG Shipyard. WCL and its wholly owned subsidiary Navyan Shipan has paid on September 21, 2022 ₹659 crore towards the entire purchase consideration. The partially built ship, equipment and metal scrap acquired under the WCL is estimated to be over 150,000 metric tons. It is estimated that the metal and metal scrap will not be required for the business purpose and will be disposed over 12 to 15 months time. However, post making the payment to ABG's liquidator and upon receipt of the sale certificate corresponding to that, the liquidator has received a provisional attachment order from ED Ahmedabad. The company, the liquidator and the lenders have all filed separate writ petition between the Honorable Gujarat High Court against ED provisional attachment order. We are making best efforts for an early and a favorable disposition of the same. Syntax. As said, Welspun growth strategy entails creating a diversified product portfolio, repurposing its business to add new target segments, expanding its offering to address both B2B and the B2C market, and making well-considered strategic acquisition. In this regard, we have acquired Syntex and BAPL's non-convertible debentures with an outstanding amount of 1,223 crore rupees for a purchase price of 418 crore rupees as on date by our only old subsidiary Mahatva Plastic and Building Materials Private Limited. A new SPV, which is Propel Plastic Products Private India Limited, is being acquired and shall submit an EOI as required by the resolutional professional as per the timelines announced, and the process for the acquisition of the same is likely to be completed within Q4 of FY2023. Sale of land and civil structures at the age. WCL has entered into a memorandum of agreement on September 30, 2022 for sale of land, civil structures, excluding the plant and machinery situated at its Dahej unit, situated at the Dahej unit of the company in the state of Gujarat. The said unit comprises of insignificant portion of the operations of the company, and the management feels that the transaction would not have any material or an adverse impact on the operations of the company. The consideration received for the sale of the land is amounting to ₹130 crores. As a responsible corporate citizen, our sharp focus has been on the ESG initiative. We emphasize ESG data governance and integrating ESG measurements into internal control framework and internal audit programs. As a part of this, we have implemented an ESG compass, an integrated digital platform for measuring, monitoring and reporting on ESG KPIs. It covers over 90 ESG indicators across all sites and locations in India and present a data in a dashboard format which helps us to accumulate manual data collection and streamline reporting processes. I also want to take this opportunity to give you a broad overview of the how does the management think about the company's outlook over a medium-term basis or for the next 3 to 5 years' time. We feel that with our diversified portfolio, which we have, which, you know, in which WML, WDI, DMT, WSSL, and Syntex all has been acquired, and they are in the process of being acquired. And will and are in the process of being incubated. We are very confident that we should be able to touch a top line of 15,000 crore rupees plus. We should be in a position to give a sustainable EBITDA of 1600 to 1800 crore rupees. Our ROCE could be in excess of 18% plus. We will be a cash positive driven by strong free cash flows. We will target to increase our DJSI score, which is our ESG ratings, from 41 to 60. And we want to be a dominant player both in the B2B and B2C segment in line of our group's vision, Har Ghar Welspun. With this, I wish to conclude my opening remarks. I would be more than happy to take any questions. I open the floor for the questions, please. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. You may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Yash from Sushil Finance. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good afternoon. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yes, you are. Yes. Good afternoon
to you. Yeah. So my question to you was regarding the Propel Plastic products and the subsidy which we are acquiring. So what kind of business the subsidy is supposed to be doing in the near future, which we have any plans on that?
So this subsidiary is being acquired purely from a purpose of participating in the auction, which has been announced by the resolution professional. So this will be the bidding entity going forward for us.
Okay. And so could you please elaborate more on the plastic and plastic products which you will be looking at coming in the coming months?
So all what we are looking at this point in time is to be an active participant for acquisition of existing setup called Syntex. They are currently, you know, they are the largest largest tank manufacturer, plastic pipe, plastic tanks manufacturer in the country. And this whole exercise is, you know, is being done with our NCDs which have been acquired, and this participation in this auction which is being announced by the RP is all being done in terms, keeping in view our intent to acquire this particular company.
Okay, got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Nirav Shah from GC Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir, and thanks for the opportunity. Few questions, sir. Firstly, if I exclude the operating profit of 104 crores on sale of land and infra at Dahej, we get a line pipe EBITDA of around 152 crores and our reported operating profit loss was 130 crores, of which we mentioned that 200 crores is a inventory write-down. So if you can we give a breakup of the losses in the steel business? Is it entirely attributable to the steel business, because India plus US pipe is part of 152 crores and we have given the numbers for WSSL. So
yeah.
You can just help us reconcile that.
Right. So if you see on the line pipe vertical, we have a bit of 256 rupees in which 104 rupees is embedded of a land sale at this point in time. So pipe business EBITDA in any case is close to 150, operational EBITDA is close to 150 or 52 odd crore rupees, which is what we had expected and anticipated in the quarter two. And as we go move on to the subsequent quarters, Q3 and Q4, and as the product mix will change, and as some export orders which are lined up for execution, they will start, executing from here, you will see a significant movement, upward movement in the pipe EBITDA side of it. And this, now coming back to the US side of it, in the US also, the first quarter we had no production. All the orders what we have almost 400,000 tons of an order book in US at this point in time. And the production for that has already started in Q2. So as we speak, we are producing, we are parking that as an inventory, and that is the reason you are not seeing that, they are hitting our financials in the Q2. And they may also not hit in the financials of Q3 because the deliveries of those pipe have to only start in Q4. While we are working with the customers, we are, in terms of to see that can they allow us to start early deliveries, because in any case we are producing, that's a work in progress. If they allow us to do that, we would see some backflow of earnings into our Q3. Otherwise, from Q4 onwards, all that what would be on the stock, all what would be on the ground, we will see the financials coming into that. And they are very profitable orders, and it is only a matter of quarter where, you will start seeing the profitability coming from the US as well. So there is nothing called uncertainty around that. It is only a matter, if we get a recognition, if they allow us to start dispatching, it will get recognized in Q3. Otherwise, from Q4 onwards, in any case, that recognitions will start coming up. So that takes care of the pipe side of our business. And I would just like to reiterate. Sorry?
It's part of that 152 crores. I mean, US is part of that.
US is part of that. All I want to reiterate that our mainstay business, which is a line pipe business, is absolutely safe, absolutely secured, for complete order book, profitable order book, and as we will move in quarter on quarter basis for the next 5 or 6 quarter, you will only see one trend, which is an upward trend. Now let's come on to the steel side of it. On the steel side of it, we just commissioned our blast furnace in this particular quarter, in sometimes in July, right? And what we have been impacted today is because of the coke pricing. When you are operating a blast furnace, you have to import coke, and there is a lead cycle of almost 60 to 90 days before you have to order the coke. In that period, there has been a significant correction of the coke prices. The coke prices have dropped down from 54,000 rupees to almost 41,000 rupees. So there has been a correction of close to 13 to 14,000 rupees per ton in a very short span of time. And that has adversely impacted because of the inventory what we have been carrying, which you have no other choice but to carry. So this is one of the major reasons for our dip in this particular quarter. Also, the second aspect which has contributed to the loss in the steel sector is that, the government of India has imposed a 15% duty on the exports of the steel product. We had anticipated, which means that, we had anticipated that we wanted to export pig iron, and which is not possible at this point in time. So there is a slump which has happened in the market, domestic market. The prices, steel prices have corrected by more than 20%. So, we have an impact of the inventory on the pig iron as well. So there are two, in this loss is embedded into two things. One is the coke inventory and other is the pig inventory.
Okay. But if I think that number is 200 crore of inventory loss that we have mentioned, so that still leaves a gap of around 75 to 80 crores.
Why would you say that, Neeraj?
So reported numbers, our operating loss is 130 crores. And if I just club the line pipe EBITDA of 152 crores with the inventory loss of 200 crores, that gives a negative 50 crore. So the gap from negative 50 crores to negative 130 crores, I just wanted a reconciliation, if possible, of that number.
I would park this question and we can get back to you with respect to this thing. But somehow it should not be like that. But nevertheless, let's park this point and we'll get back to you.
From Gaurav, yeah. Sir, second question is, we are seeing the change in the debt numbers from 116 crores to 1600 crores of net debt now.
Correct.
And if you see the balance sheet, for the reasons you mentioned, our inventory from March levels has increased from 1000 crores to 3500 crores.
Right.
But just from Q1 to Q2, if we can just reconcile the cash outgo of around, say, 1700 crores, that would be really helpful.
So it has two or three components to that. Number one, the one component of cash outflow is for buying the NCDs of Syntex. The second outflow, of course,
the
major
month.
The next outflow was with respect to the ABG, and of course, third, the most important part was this, the project, the WML, WDI, and all the third, and the TMT project, all the three projects were into the project phase, and that was requiring funding. So these were the two reasons, the ABG acquisition and this was.
So entire ABG outgo has been part of now this balance sheet number, this 1600 crore of net debt number.
Yes, please.
Got it. And so just a clarification, the 70,000 ton of DI pipe order is over and above the 956,000 ton of line pipe order.
Yeah.
Got
yes.
it, sir. Great. So I have a few more questions. I'll get back and thank you. Thank you, sir.
Sure.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Chintan Mehta from Prudent Broking. Please go ahead.
Sir, if you can throw some light on Syntex BAPL acquisition, what is the current status and in what scenario we even open we to acquire the company?
See, it's a work in progress, Chintan. It's while we have taken a significant position of acquiring the debt NCDs to a particular level, but now there is a there is a COC, there is a process which is now being initiated. And there is a timeline which has been announced to that. We have to participate in that process. Apart from us, there are three or four more bidders around that. But we are reasonably, we stay completely glued and plugged to this particular asset. We are confident of going forward with that. But it will take its time. We are hopeful that it might, the whole process can get completed by the fourth quarter of this year.
Okay, so by the fourth and any, by the fourth quarter end of this year, we will integrate the asset with us, correct? If everything goes in favor.
That is what we are expecting. It's more of a regulatory process, which is not completely in our control, right? But the way I think that the things are moving at an accelerated pace, as the way the timelines have been identified, we are very, very hopeful that, this asset can get integrated by quarter four of this year.
Okay. And so what is our strategy for the ABG assets? What we have planned for that?
See, right now, as you know, we have acquired this ABG asset, but there is a provisional ED order for attachment at this point in time. Ourselves, the liquidators and the lenders have appealed against that particular order. At this point in time, the matter is little sub judice, and we all are working in that direction, that how it can be, how it can be resolved at the earliest. So at this point in time, our complete energy and focus is in terms of getting this matter resolved, and then we will start working around that. What would be the next steps around that? But having said that, as you know, it's a very strategic asset. As Welspun, we have some strategic thinking captured with us. That what could be potentially done with this asset over a period of time. Are we going to do anything immediately around it? The answer is no. But, we would like to evolve this particular business, which will absolutely be a great value creator in times to come.
Okay. Understand. Thank you so much, sir. That's only I have.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Abhishek Jain from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for taking my question. Sir, are we seeing any more inventory losses in this particular quarter?
Abhishek, looks unlikely, but we are dealing in commodities. Today, the commodities are extremely volatile. It is completely unpredictable. Tomorrow, the steel market gets corrected, further corrected by 20-30%. Who knows that? So then there would be a potential impact, but the sense on the ground at this point in time is that I don't think so that there would, you know, there is any major correction left at this point in time, but everyone has been proven wrong on that. So I would say that, you know, I don't want to speculate, but we are, if there is no major corrections in the commodity which will happen, I don't think so there would be anything, any further surprises like that what has happened in Q2. But if that happens, if the market, if the commodity gets corrected significantly, you know, then there could be potential impact. But that is true for all. It is not, you know, it is not that we will be the only one who will get impacted. Everyone is getting impacted because of that. And we are hoping that, you know, there is no major correction now of the corner.
Sir, I have two more questions. One is on the ABG side of acquisition right now. Sir, what kind of growth you see going forward on the ABG shipyard trend? How exactly you see this particular business in next 2-3 years?
See, today, as I said, ABG is a very strategic acquisition. It fits into our long-term scheme of things. There is nothing called short-term or a mid-term we are contemplating at ABG. It's a very, very strategic asset. It is, you know, if you see, it is an asset which has been, you know, working in the shipbuilding domain, and you know, it is one of the assets which have been extremely, you know, which has been working in the defense sector as well, the defense shipbuilding sector as well. So we have couple of options up on the table. We have a long term strategic plan for that. Right now, what we have only invested is in the asset, because this asset is a nice strategic asset. And that is how we would like to keep it at this point in time. You know, our primary target at this point in this time is that, you know, there is a matter which is sub judice at the Honorable High Court in Gujarat. We are all pursuing that, you know, it gets addressed or properly addressed. And once that happens, then we would like to, you know, start putting a couple of business plans and a couple of options upon the table and see what will create the best value for all us and the stakeholders. And that is, then we will start, you know, then we will keep you posted about that.
Okay. And sir, like we have done, we have already done one specialty steel acquisition a few years back. How exactly you see going forward the acquisitions as profile, and what are our learning for this? And can you throw some more light on a specialty steel business and billets and PMP part also a little bit, if you can throw some light?
Sure. So the WSSL acquisition, which we did the last year, I think so that acquisition is moving well. If you see that, you know, the volumes have been increasing, both for the pipes as well as for the stainless steel bars. Our customer base is expanding. The company has moved out from red and it is now in the black. The quality is widely accepted. Almost 40 to 50% of the quantity sold is now getting exported. The domestic demand is looking very robust and very, very buoyant. So it is all, it's a startup. You know, one has to be patient in terms of incubating these startups. And, you know, we have been working on this for the last 3 or 4 quarters. And you see it has already now converted into black. And from here on, its growth journey will start. As regards the market, the demand, you know, there is a serious demand into the market. And we being one of the integrated players, which means I produce the steel and I also produce the pipe, and, you know, is going to help us a lot. One thing which has temporarily impacted this business also was this export duty. We were, you know, and that has really impacted our bar business. We had started our bars. We have, you know, we have supplied our bars, SS bars, for the export market, and the quality of that was widely accepted. As we were in the process of, you know, increasing our market share in the bar market, this export duty component has come up. We have represented the government for that, because this seems to be a little abnormal. I think so there in the government quarters, there is an acknowledgement around that. They seem to be thinking in terms of removing this exports limitation or export duties over this stainless steel, at least to start with. And we are very confident that it should get resolved very, very quickly. And once that happens, then there will be a huge export market which will open for our bar business. But for our pipe business, I think so with our new, you know, with our approvals, with our accreditation, and with our the supplies which are already being supplied to across all the major sectors, I think so there's a great acceptability, and I'm sure this pipe business will also grow up from here itself. And the order book of almost 1800 tons plus is a very clear reflection of that. Coming to your second part of it about the TMT business, as you know, we have been producer of a billet, an intermediary product. All what we have done, we have moved up into the value chain, and now we will be started producing, we have already started producing the TMT bars. If you understand, Gujarat is one of the largest consumption center for the TMT bar. At this point in time, on a year-on-year basis, consistently they have been consuming more than 3 million tons of TMT on year-on-year basis. 2 million tons of TMT is coming from Gujarat, and 1 million ton of TMT is coming from other states. So if we are setting up a facility for almost 350,000 tons in 10, and I feel that with the brand what we have, with the quality consciousness which we have in our DNA at Welspun, and with the demand what is there in the state of Gujarat, I think so we should be able to capture our market share in sooner rather than later. From a process perspective, the plant stands installed, commissioned, the trials are going successful. At this point in time when we are speaking, the trials are absolutely successful. Of course, there are some teething issues here and there, which always happened with any project. But, you know, our product has already started hitting to the market. And from here on, month-on-month basis, we will gradually ramp up from our TMT business. So we are moving from an intermediary product of billet to a value-added product of TMT, which has a huge consumption base within the state of Gujarat itself.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. I have a few more questions. I'll be in the queue, sir.
Thank you. Sure.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Vikas Singh from PhillipCapital. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Vikas.
I just want to understand our steel business billet side basically. So since as long as the duty is there, it's not lucrative for us to produce. As we can see that though the volumes of the standalone business has jumped up by 40,000-50,000 tons, but EBITDA remains the same. So what kind of losses they are making at this point of time on the EBITDA level?
Because you are talking about the billets part?
Billets basically. So just standalone business, if I look at my volumes for the pipe jumped up, but my EBITDA remains the same. So obviously there have to be incremental losses on the billet side, which could have, you know, they didn't allow the EBITDA expansion. So wanted to understand what are the losses they are making right now and how do you see these two tapering down going forward?
See, on the billet, yes, there. On the billet side of it, the market has been fairly depressed and it got into a further depression mode when the export duty started coming in, right? When the 15% export duty came in. So we have been very conscious. And also, if you look at the commodity pricing, the, you know, scrap pricing and every, you know, it has gone up the roof. So what we have, here we had an opportunity to either either continue to produce and take the inventory losses or to take a pause and only completely focus on setting up our long product TMT mill. In what we did, we took a conscious call of calibrating our production and focus more on setting up our TMT mill. I think so this is all, you know, now our focus will completely move from billet to the TMT side of it. I think so as you move up the value chain, you know, you are insulating yourself to a large extent about the uncertainty which prevails around the billet sale. So, because to answer your question, in the billet sale, there was always a little bit of an uncertainty. There was a volatility in the market price, and that being a semi product into the market where you have no control end to end. With this, with the TMT now coming in, you are in a much better control. And you are up in the value chain, so insulating yourself, your profitability and the margins, please.
Okay, sir. I'll leave it at that. So just one thing also I want to understand, since the steel segment or they are just now started to ramp up, apart from the one-off losses, what are the startup costs which can you quantify which has impacted our results and how and what level of, you know, production levels we are seeing this startup cost to get or the fixed cost get to assimilated and then improving our overall performance going forward?
So we have to see it in two contexts. Number one, as I said, the blast furnace, I think that the blast furnace has started pretty off well. It is absolutely consistent. It is producing more than 1,000, almost close to 1,000 tons per day. And that is by design. We have restricted it to 1,000 tons per day. We have the fullest capability and, you know, at this point in time to ramp up to 1,300 to 1,500 tons per day. But we are looking at the inventories, the raw material volatility and the pig iron not being a commodity which can be sold at this point of time that very easily. And as our DI business is ramping up, so we have restricted our blast furnace operations at close to 1,000 tons per day. Now, the point in question is the DIP plant. I think so on our DIP plant, the operations have started very nicely. The equipment have started settling down. You know, the hot zone, the finishing lines and all those things are now absolutely completely synced. We have seen the quality has got completely established. The BIS approval is now in place. Our approvals under the various markets, you know, the key markets in which we want to penetrate. This used to be a big challenge earlier. If you see, for years people will not get an approval for their DI pipes. And today, you know, I'm happy to announce that, you know, that all the key markets in which Welspun wants to operate, they are already approved now. And it's a very clear reflection that, you know, we have an order backlog of 70,000 tons. If we wish, we can go for more. And I am sure that in days and weeks to come, this will only get better and better. So it's all about stabilizing, ramping up the production at the DI plant. And I think so there is a very clear-cut roadmap which has been laid out. I think so we are moving as per the plan. What we will see in Q3 is a much different incremental ramp-up production and followed by Q4. And that is how, you know, it will go over for next 4 to 6 quarters. That is how the ramp-up will happen. And we expect that, you know, we should reach to our target capacity in, let's say, in 6 quarters from now.
Okay, sir. So, but then, even then, let's say next year, can we assume that we would be still be selling 2 lakh can, 2.5 lakh can of pig iron and 1.5 lakh of DI, and that would take time for DI to catch up to its full potential?
Because I would not like that scenario to happen, because at the end of the day, we are here, we have set up this plant for maximizing our DIP production. The technology what we have used, the man-machine interface, what is now happening, I think so. It will settle down very quickly. But yes, you are right. Our capacity is 400,000 tons. Are we going to reach to our capacity of 400,000 tons the next year? The answer is no. So whatever best we could do, we are very hopeful that, you know, there is a demand side on the market. There is no dearth of demand. So the ball is in our court in terms of now ramping up to maximize the opportunity. And, you know, with the team what we have in place, with the technology what we have in place, with the tailwind what we have in the market, I think so our endeavor would be to reach very close to that. But on to be realistic side, I think so I would like to say that we should be close to 200,000-250,000 tons of DIP that we should be targeting and aiming for the next year.
Thank you, sir. Just one last question, if I may chip in. Sir, in terms of USA, this 460,000 tons of order book which we have confirmed, so is that uniformly spread across the next 6 quarters or is heavily skewed towards some particular quarter? If you could give us some insight into it.
This order is let's say the large diameter order, which is close to 300,000 tons plus. You know, as we speak, we should be starting the production for the same in next 3 days' time. In 72 hours' time from now, the production for that will start. And it will be equally distributed over all the quarter. Our endeavor is to complete it by the end of the third quarter of the next year. And so it's going to be a sort of an even distribution. Even the spiral order, which we would like to start sometime in the very first quarter of next year, because we are booked till the end of this year, and this you know, when we start this ERW order, in the very first quarter of the next year, I think so we will, and it will continue to run for the next 4 quarters from there on. So they are evenly distributed now.
Okay, so that means we still would be left with some large diameter capacity in US, and that is some more orders can be taken. 30-40 KT per quarter basis can be further taken if there is a demand.
The demand, if you see from if what you are saying is right, because, but if you see the market is absolutely buoyant. At this point in time, while we have this sort of an order book, we are already in discussions for order execution during starting calendar year 2024. So this is absolutely on our radar, and I think so there are multiple opportunities which are being explored at this point in time. Real opportunities which are being explored at this point in time.
Understood, sir. Thank you for answering my questions. And this also potential pole position order would be mostly exports, right? It's not Indians.
It is their export orders.
So if we get it, then there would be a very good margin orders.
Naturally.
Thank you, and all the best for future.
Thank you, Vikas.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Jayesh Gandhi from Harshad Gandhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Continuing from an earlier caller's question on inventory, are we carrying two quarters of inventory currently?
So currently, Jayesh, we have completely trimmed down. We have moved on to JIT, and but of course, you know, there would be an inventory which will be close to 30 days. We are keeping.
Okay, and say for example, if there is no major price correction in steel, can we think of going back to our earlier margins of like maybe like EBITDA 10-12%?
Yes, this is a fair assumption to make, and I mean if there is no volatility attached with that, this is what is a reasonable level to expect.
Okay, that's all from my side. So best of luck for future.
Thank you, Jayesh.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Pallav Agarwal from Antique Stock Broking Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. So I wanted some more clarity on how we account for the Saudi Arabian operations, because since it's a JV, I'm assuming in the consolidated statements, you know, the revenue is not being captured. So, you know, for modeling purpose, when we use the consolidated revenues and the consolidated volumes, then is it the right way to arrive at the blended realization? Because Saudi Arabian JV, when revenues are not being captured in the consolidated, is that understanding correct?
Yeah. So, Pallav, this is Percy here. Your understanding is correct that the Saudi entity, EPIC, we do not consolidate. However, we take our share of profits as a single line item at the bottom of the P&L. You will see that that gets added. So, we now own, our Mauritius holding company owns 35% in the Saudi company.
Sure. Okay. And the related question was, I think on an annual basis you do disclose the breakup of pipes volumes across geographies, but on a quarterly basis I was not able to find that. So it would actually help if that also could be shared for probably tracking the company in a better manner.
You're talking about the quarterly sales for the future quarters. That's what you're talking.
No, I'm talking about, let's say, actual sales volume, the breakup between geographies.
If you see my opening statement, I said in this particular quarter, we did 218,000 tons of pipe. Out of that, 140,000 tons was done in India, 9,000 was done in US, and 70,000 was done in Saudi.
Sure, sir. So it was, just to compare historical quarters, if we have those numbers as well, that will really help.
Okay. So if you see that in the sequential quarter, the earlier quarter, we did 90,000 tons of from India, against which we have done 140,000 tons here in this quarter. 7,000 tons was done in US, as against that 9,000 tons has been done in this quarter. And in Saudi, 58,000 tons was done in the last quarter, and in this quarter, it is 70,000 tons. So that is how, between the two quarters, the sales have gone up.
Sure, sir. Yeah, this is helpful. Yeah, that's it from my end.
Thank you, Val.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Viraj Mahadevia, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. I have a question regarding your five-year vision plan. The top line of 15,000 crores and the EBITDA indicated of 1,600 to 1,800 crores. Does that include the Syntex business or is it just your existing pipes business plus the ABG shipyard business?
We are talking of a Welspun Corp. Every legal entity sitting under Welspun Corp is included into that.
But legal entity as of today, because technically Syntex is not sitting today, right?
So that's why I'm saying it's a sort of a midterm vision, and the Syntex will get integrated into this. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So this includes the assumption that Syntex is part of it. Okay.
Yes, please.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Anurag Patil from Roha Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So our other income has shot up significantly in the Q2. So can you just explain what are the components?
One of the items in the other income, as we have disclosed, is the sale of Dahej land and civil structures, which is about 104 crore rupees. If you just were to exclude that, so total other income is 177, and you were to exclude 104, you would be left with about 73 crores, which is almost identical with our Q1.
Okay. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
We have the next question from the line of Faisal Hawa from H.G. Hawa and Company. Please go ahead.
So, can you just throw some more light on the whole carbon capture opportunity, because renewables and responsible shifting to green energy will be a big move forward.
Mr. Rawa, I would request you to increase your volume a little bit. We are not able to hear you.
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yes, please proceed.
Yeah. So, can you just throw some more light on the whole carbon capture opportunity, because, you know, reducing carbon dioxide from the atmosphere remains a very big imperative, and it's almost like a major theme for the next 3 to 4 decades. So is there any possibility that we could be having like a very large share of our revenues coming from this opportunity going forward?
Well, this is an emerging area, and we are so delighted and pleased to get ahead in this curve much early in the game. And, you know, having 1,200 kilometers of a carbon capture pipeline order, almost close to 100,000 tons, it is by far the largest carbon capture order at this point in time. So, as you very rightly said, this is what the future is going to be. This is where the, you know, our post fossils, you know, this is where the markets are going to move. And we have made an early dent in this particular sector. Of course, the economies are, you know, the matured economies like US are taking a pole position in respect of that. And that is why we are seeing much more accelerated projects coming up of carbon capture in the US and then followed by Europe. But I am sure this will be a trend which will be followed globally in times to come. So it is going to be a big business in times to come. And being into a pole position early into the game and setting the right technical context will be extremely beneficial for the company over the next years.
So what could be the total addressable opportunity here?
So, in terms of, let's say, metric tons, if you talk, or at this point in time, it would be very difficult to say that how big this opportunity would be, because what is happening is they are also finding the wells. Today, it is capturing the carbon which is emission across the states, and that carbon is now being captured. Then it is being pressurized, converted into liquid, and then sequestered into a place where it can be put to the ground. Now, I think so. There's a lot of work which is being done at this point in time in the United States with respect to that, and various economic zones across the state, across the U.S. will get eventually covered into that. So, do I have a definite number that, you know, is it going to be 20,000 tons or 200,000 tons of 2 million tons of opportunity? I don't know at this point in time. But for sure I know that this is one of the most upcoming opportunities which is now capturing attention, and it will only growing from bounce to bounce in times to come.
So there will be just some kind of a small change in our manufacturing shop floor that we'll need to do to really get into proper manufacturing of this? Or there are something much more complicated?
It's more than the changes at the shop floor. I think so. It's more on the steel side of it, and that is where we, as you know, Welspun extensively runs an R&D center globally, and that is where our experience comes into play. So we are jointly working with the steel companies in terms of developing such steel, and which will be the main play for some sectors for sectors like this. So on the manufacturing side, nothing much has to be done, which would be a very, very, very minimal intervention in terms of welding technologies and all that stuff. Very, very minimal. But mostly it will be more in terms of developing the steel side of it.
So, if I could ask, sir, what is our involvement of our chairman, Mr. B.K. Goenka, because he's such a well-respected entrepreneur and he's done such a lot in one lifetime. What is his involvement and what kind of his handholding does he do for the company and on a day-to-day or a month-to-month basis, and what is the kind of vision that he is envisaging for his team here?
Mr. Goenka is the chairman of the board.
Yes.
And Welspun Corp is a completely board-driven company. Whatever wisdom he has, he shares, he guides during the board. But in respect of day-to-day operations, he is not involved, he is not plugged.
Okay. Thanks a lot, sir, for answering my question so well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We have a follow-up question from the line of Chintan Mehta from Prudent Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, my question is answered. It was on carbon credit. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Radha from PNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good evening. Thank you for the opportunity. So, my question was on the capital side. So I think I believe 6 billion was a target capex for this year, for FY23. But we have crossed that. So can you give me a revised guidance for this year and the next 2 years?
So we have pretty much done with our capex cycle. All what we have on the pipe side of it, it is purely a maintenance capex, which we do on a year-on-year basis. So there is nothing which is going to significantly change out there. It's the maintenance capex which we do there. On the steel side of it, where we have set up our steel plant and the DI plant and all that stuff, majority of the capex is done. Only the residual part of the capex is now getting into the system. I think so we are at the tail end of that. But we would be very much within our capex proposals, what we have submitted. So it is now coming to a tail end, a fag end of it. The third capex what we have done is in the TMT mill. That is also done. That's also over. And as I said, that it is now under commissioning, trials in the dispatch sales stage at this point in time. Beyond that, we are not envisaging any capex at this point in time. Our focus is now completely shifted to incubate all these new startups, which is our steel plant, our DI plant, our TMT plant. Of course, WSSL, we have started investing time. You see that how it has converted from red to black. So this is what our roadmap is now going to be. And then we, we are pretty much done answering your question. If I get you correctly, we are pretty much done with our capex cycle at this point in time.
The balance, whatever we have in the pipe, steel and TMT, and including the other acquisitions, etc. So what could we expect for FY23 capex numbers and for the next 2-3 years?
So our maintenance capex, let's say our maintenance capex could be close, could be anything around 40 to 50 crore rupees. That would be our maintenance capex. And the balance capex which would be left in our existing steel plant and the DI plant and the TMT plant will be less than say 100 odd crore rupees. As I said, we are now coming to almost a fag end. So I don't think so that anything significant would have been left. It should be close to that. I can ask my team to come back and give you an exact number around that. But I would think that it will not be exceeding that.
So assuming 150 to 200 crores capex in the next half of FY23 as well as the next 2 years. Assuming no more acquisitions or currently, I mean status quo as of now.
No, no. What I am saying is that the residual capex would all be done between now and, let's say, by end of December. I think so in this quarter, we would be pretty much done with our new capex part of it. All what we would be left on year-on-year basis will be a maintenance capex. Our yearly maintenance capex is around 50-odd crore rupees when we were doing the pipes. That might slightly incrementally go up to 60 or 70-odd crore rupees when all these assets will be running. So all year-on-year basis or next year onwards, year-on-year basis, it will only be a maintenance capex to, which will be in place.
Understood, sir. So 150 to 200 crores for FY23, I mean second half FY23 and 50-60 crores for next 3 years.
Yes.
So also with respect to this, how will our debt look like? Total debt?
So we have moved from a net cash position to a net debt position. There's no doubt about it because of this capex cycle which we have invested and we have invested for our growth. But when we are, when we look at our projections, when we do our sensitivity, I think so it's, you know, we would again be back to a net cash position, I think so, within 3 to 4 years, because we are seeing a strong demand for all the products what we have got into. There is a huge tailwind around that. It is all, if we are able to manage it efficiently, which I believe that we should be able to do that, it will generate sufficient free cash flows over a period of time, and we should be in a position to be a net cash company in between 3 to 4 years' time.
Okay. And so just lastly on the working capital cycle, so that has also increased and primarily because of inventory. So how could we expect that to be for the next 2 to 2.5 years?
The working capital cycle got increased because of the steel vertical, and where we have to, you know, when we were starting up our operations, the inventories has to be assimilated, accumulated. I think so once this process, now we are, as we have already started, now it is coming into a regular flow. I think so this working capital cycle on the steel side of also will come into a very regulated manner. If you see the pipe, you know, the working capital cycle on the pipe side of it is so very regulated. So is the case which will happen on the steel side of it. It's just a matter of a quarter or two, because when you are doing any startup, when you start, you do all that adequate precautions and everything, which any sensible corporate will do that. We have also done that. I think so over a period of the next couple of quarters, it will absolutely be in sync with the best industry standards.
Understood. Thank you for answering all my questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this would be the last question for today, which is from the line of Bala Subramanian from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello, sir. This is Abhishek Jain from Arihant Capital. So I just want to understand... I want to understand like how much payment need to be required if we acquire Syntex BSPL asset going forward. And what are the capex and how we are going to fund it? And next 2 years capex for the company right now.
So answering your question on the second part of the capex, I just answered for when Radha was asking me that question. So capex, you know, we are not going to do any major capex. We are done with our capex cycle. All what we would have is a sort of a maintenance capex across all the businesses what we have now in our fold. That's the answer on the capex side of it. As regards Syntex, I think so the Syntex is now a work in progress. If you see that we have taken a position, you know, we have NCDs around 480 crore rupees, that all is there. Now there is a clear cut timeline where we would have to submit our bids and all that. So it is now going to be a little competitive bidding which is going to happen. But we are fairly confident that, you know, we bring intrinsic value upon the table, and we should be, you know, we should be able to close this acquisition. We are very hopeful to close this acquisition within the budgets what we have kept in our mind.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. As that was the last question for today, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Vipul Mathur, Managing Director and Chief Executive Officer, for closing comments.
So I want to once again thank all of you for joining our call for the earning call for Q2 FY23. I only want to reiterate that, you know, that our we have to start seeing this business in couple of quadrants. Number one, have, with the pipe vertical, I am assuring, you know, as you see that the pipe, the business, there is a absolutely robust growth in the pipe business. It is going to be our mainstay. It is going to be our key focus, continue to be our key focus area. And we have absolutely clear earning predictability for the next 5 to 6 quarters in that particular vertical. On the steel vertical, which is a new vertical which we have created, I think so it is a temporary setback what we have with respect to the inventory and because of the commodity pricing going haywire. But fundamentally, if you look at it, and the future if you look at it, I think so it looks very bright. And nobody has any doubts whatsoever that the infrastructure, the water infrastructure sector under the Jal Jeevan Mission is going to get created. There is no doubt whatsoever in terms of allocation of funds for that particular project. And we are seeing, as I said earlier, so out of only, out of 360 lakh crore rupees, only 300 crore rupees have been, is not yet used yet. So that sense, that gives you a feeling that there is a sufficient resource and funding allocation which is available, and that will see us, that, you know, so these projects will go through. I think so all what we have to do from our side, we will, we have to, you know, work, we will work on our efficiencies, and I think so with such a great scenario what we are in, and you know, we should be able to capitalize, and the company will be able to create value for all our stakeholders. With that, I want to once again thank you for joining me this call, and if you guys have any questions whatsoever, you can reach out to Abhinandan, Percy or Gaurav, and they will be more than happy to answer that question. Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of MK Global Financial Services, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.